From Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Ben Kiefer. This is The Exchange. Over the years, various slogans have described Iowa. Fields of opportunities, a place to grow, a state of minds, the tall corn state. Remember that one? Well, this hour we talk about the perceptions of Iowa and how best to market and brand the state. My guests, Lynn Matternach of Mindfire Communications in Cedar Rapids and the Quad Cities, Mike Draper of Raygun Clothing in Des Moines, and Iowa's Poet Laureate Mary Swander. We'll also examine an effort to rebrand the Technology Corridor in eastern Iowa. If you had to come up with a slogan for Iowa, what would it be? We'll get down to branding our state right after this news. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, and today you're listening to an encore edition of the program. When I say the word Iowa, what comes to mind? What images? What phrases? Over the years, various slogans have officially described Iowa. Fields of opportunities, that's the one I think you see at the border now. But there was also a place to grow, a state of minds, the tall corn state. You remember that one from way back? Well, this hour, we want to talk about the perceptions of Iowa, both from within and outside, and how best to market and brand the state. In a few minutes, we'll address the state as a whole, but first, the greater Cedar Rapids and Iowa City region is often considered a single area of Iowa. The region has tried to give itself a name, branding itself the Technology Corridor. That name has met mixed success, and now business and economic development leaders are considering changing the brand. Iowa Public Radio's Alex Hoyer reports.
People rarely refer to this area in eastern Iowa as the Technology Corridor. If anything, it's usually just the corridor. Exactly when the name Technology Corridor was adopted by some in the business community is uncertain. John Lohman says it was probably 10 to 15 years ago, several years after Interstate 380 was completed. Lohman is the chair of a task force that's trying to come up with a different brand for the region. He's also the president and publisher of the Corridor Business Journal.
People wanted to have to be able to put a little brand on this, and without really much thought, they said, well, let's just slap on Technology Corridor because there's an airport at one end and the University of Iowa's at the other end. And let's just put that together.
Now, business and community leaders want to know if that's the best way to market this area. They've commissioned a study and hired a company out of Nashville for about $125,000.
One of the nice things about going through this process is we get to really dig in and understand who we are, what people think about ourselves, and what are our strengths, what are our weaknesses. And once we have all that information, then we can move this region forward.
The largest technology company in the state is Rockwell Collins in Cedar Rapids. Tom Hobson is the company's senior manager for public affairs.
This is all really about competitiveness and trying to give either our area or our company an advantage.
Hobson says Rockwell Collins supports the rebranding effort, but he says the Technology Corridor brand has helped because it has given recognition to the many technology businesses in eastern Iowa, something he says most people would not associate with a state dominated by agriculture. Likewise, Dennis Green says most people probably don't think eastern Iowa has a vibrant arts and cultural scene. Green is the general manager of jazz station KCCK and a board member of the Iowa Cultural Corridor Alliance.
I'm not convinced that Technology Corridor is the biggest and best thing that we have to sell our community. There's a lot more to it.
Green says the alliance was created about 8 years ago to highlight the events and attractions in eastern Iowa, ranging from the dance companies that take up residency at Hancher Auditorium to the well-documented relationship artist Grant Wood has with the area. And it's those cultural activities that Tom Hobson at Rockwell Collins calls quality of life issues, the reasons why people would want to live in the area.
We're not just competing against other parts of the state or Missouri and Nebraska and Minnesota, we're competing against the whole country, and very seriously, each year it becomes more apparent that we're competing globally.
Hobson says a brand is what a region stands for. It's not just a logo or a tagline, but a way for people and businesses, both internally and externally, to identify with the community. The business and economic development leaders and those who support the effort to rebrand the Technology Corridor say it's a difficult process. Dozens of businesses have included Corridor into their name and even more into their advertising. Dennis Green of the Cultural Corridor Alliance says abandoning the term corridor is probably unlikely.
I think that if we drop the idea of some sort of branding that involves the term corridor, I think that's going to be challenging. I think that for better or worse, that may be our brand. Now it's up to us to define it.
Results of the study are expected by next summer. The Business Alliance Task Force says a branding change is expected, but it's also likely corridor will continue to be used in some way.
And thanks to Iowa Public Radio's Alex Hoyer for that report. I'm Ben Kiefer. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio. Joining us now, Lynn Maternak. She is president of Mindfire Communications in Cedar Rapids and the Quad Cities, and the company's brand arsonist. We'll find out what that is in just a moment. Lynn Maternak, welcome to The Exchange.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Now, react to this idea for me. Give us your feedback on the rebranding possibilities for the technology corridor, this strip of land and cities stretching from Cedar Rapids to Iowa City.
There are a lot of areas that are looking at rebranding right now, and the reason is because of the weak global economy. Areas like this have to find a way to differentiate and to stand out. It's a very competitive environment out there. And so finding a way to summarize what this area is about and what are the benefits of choosing this area to live, work, or play provides some nice advantages for an area. Mm-hmm. So to me, it makes sense to take another look at it, to make sure that the technology corridor, the corridor area, has the best advantages as we move forward in the current economy.
Let's get into some fundamentals of branding before we go on to talk about the state as a whole and how that might be branded or how we should think about that. Define branding for us.
Your brand is what people say about you when you're not around, whether you're a company, an individual, or a region. What do people think about you? What is your reputation? What is the heart of what you represent to people who may or may not know you?
Mm-hmm. And the difference between that and marketing, branding and marketing?
The brand is more internal in terms of what you represent. Marketing is more the corporate speak, the messaging that is being developed by those who are working to express, communicate, or control that brand.
Okay. Give us some common attributes of great brands, and maybe you can bring in some examples of what you mean when you point out the attributes that have been successful in other brands.
A great regional brand is one that is top of mind. It has awareness. People know what it is. It's true. It absolutely has to be true. You can say that this is your brand. But if people come to that area and their experience doesn't match what you've promised, you've done yourself a disservice. You've mm-hmm. actually created some negative aspects to that brand. Mm-hmm. So you're looking for ways to differentiate. You've got to find a way to make yourself different than others so that when an outside of the state entity is looking at locating in Cedar Rapids or Iowa City, there are a whole lot of different areas they're looking at. How is this corridor area different from a place in Ohio or a place in Nebraska or another place that they might be considering to locate? Mm-hmm. So you've got to differentiate. You've got to find some kind of an emotional connection as well, because when people make decisions about brands, it's not only logical, it's also emotional. Many times people are making that emotional decision before they look at the logical side to justify that decision. And so you've got to make sure that there's an emotional connection somewhere as well.
Now, you deal, I understand, at Mindfire Communications with products or services, I would imagine. Here we're talking in this show about places. What would be the difference in approaching a place rather than a product or a service in your mind?
A lot of the foundational aspects are the same. The key difference is that branding a place is a lot more challenging. If you own a company and you are working very hard on understanding what your brand is and figuring out how to communicate that in an effective way to the people who care most about it, you can control some of those key aspects of that process. If you're branding a place like the Technology Corridor, there is a whole lot of collaboration, cooperation, that has to take place to make that happen. It has to be a unified front to make it effective. You have to have focus. Mm-hmm. And that's the challenge of place branding, because there are a lot of entities that may or may not be competing, that may have different philosophies about how they want to go about it. They may have different priorities. They may be more interested in talking about culture versus technology, for instance. How do you pull all of those entities together in a way that makes sense to the greater good?
Mm-hmm.
coordinating those efforts can be extremely challenging.
Can you bring to mind any place branding in Iowa or the Midwest that really stands out for you as meeting these attributes?
You know, I can't think of anything off the top of my head in Iowa. Some of the best examples include Las Vegas. Mm. What happens here stays here. Mm-hmm. That's a great example because it has that emotional aspect. It's not just about the logical side. It has a whole lot of emotional connections to people.
And it leaves a lot to your imagination.
Absolutely. So there's a fun factor to it. It has been a very effective campaign as they've brought it back to representing Las Vegas as Sin City. And so people relate to that. They go to Las Vegas. The experience lives up to that promise, and that works very well. I Love New York is another brand campaign that's been extremely effective. It works on the business side, and it works on the visitor, the tourism side. And it's something they've communicated well, and people associate that. When you think New York, people see that logo with the red heart in it. Another one is the Australia branding campaign, the Shrimp on the Barbie campaign with Paul Hogan. It was something that resonated well with people, and people still think of that. That awareness is strong.
We're talking about branding today, branding places, specifically Iowa, the Technology Corridor. We heard that piece there by Iowa Public Radio's Alex Hoyer a little while ago. Lynn Modernock is with us. She's president of Mindfire Communications in Cedar Rapids and the Quad Cities. The company's brand arsonist. What is the what does the brand arsonist do? I can guess. Go
well,
ahead.
Our goal is to ignite the flames of brand loyalty for our clients. Mm-hmm. Across the board.
And it really is something when you think about successful branding. It is something we use words like viral, and that's exactly what you're talking about. It takes off.
Absolutely.
It goes out of control in a certain good way,
mm-hmm.
if you're marketing.
And you've got to spark that attention. You've got to find ways to get people to warm up to the idea of embracing your brand. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, what we're looking for is how can we build a hot brand for a client? And it's that emotional aspect that we're after.
Okay, whether we're talking about what is called the technology corridor or the corridor or the state of Iowa as a whole, we want to get down to some examples. In fact, we want to reach out to listeners and ask our exchange listeners if you can think of a slogan for Iowa that would be good. We want to hear it this hour, 1-866-780-9100. If you're given a few minutes to think of that slogan, I mentioned some of the slogans at the outset of the program. What would your slogan be for the state, having heard Lynn talk about the key attributes of a slogan? Anything to avoid with a slogan as we throw that out?
The most important thing is that you can live it. The slogan, you know, there are lots of cute sayings with lots of alliteration and those kinds of things that are out there, but it absolutely has to tie to the reality of what someone would experience when they visit this area.
Okay, 1-866-780-9100. Or the exchange at iowapublicradio.org. We'll get to those a little bit later in the hour, but you can call now. Now, let's have you take us through the process, whether we're branding specifically for a place, and I know a lot of these things can apply to products or services. Where do we start in this process? Does it start with research?
It does, because your brand isn't what you say it is. It's what they say it is. And that's why that tagline has to be something that relates to reality. It's the consumers. It's the people who will be consuming that product or the potential visitors to the area, the people who might be considering moving businesses to this area, as well as the people who currently live in the area. Their opinions are incredibly important because before you start working on developing your brand, you have to understand where it is now. Whether or not you've ever invested any time or energy in developing your brand, you have a brand. And that's the perception, your reputation, what people think of you when they hear your name or your company's name or the region's name or they hear the name Cedar Rapids. That is your brand. So you need to understand exactly where you're starting from before you know what you need to do, before you can figure out what you need to do to move those perceptions from where they are to where you need them to be to be most effective.
I'm glad you mentioned that, where they are, because I assume when you're researching, you're not finding all happy, good, positive emotions connected with a brand, ideas connected with a brand. In some cases, there are a lot of negatives connected with a corporation, a product, a place. How do you deal with those? Once you've ascertained through polling or surveys what your brand actually is, what do you do then with the negative side, the dark side of your brand?
You know, the most concerning brand surveys that I do in many ways are the ones where there are no negatives. And it's because understanding where the negatives are helps you understand where you need to be improving. ultimately, it's about the experience. So once you have an idea of where those problems are and where you're going off track and where people are becoming dissatisfied or disenfranchised or angry at the level of customer service or the quality of the product or the experience that they have with your company, then you know what you need to address to move those perceptions in the right direction.
And addressing them how? In ACT or with other? Do you have a brand slogan that counteracts a negative perception, perhaps?
Wouldn't that be nice if we could just say
an
something?
An antidote?
That would be nice. No, there's a lot of hard work that goes behind it. You have to a lot of times it's figuring out where those issues are within your organization or whatever it is that you're branding and getting those addressed. A lot of times it's about training and internal communication within organizations. Most of the time those issues are related to the experience that the customer or the client has with the company that's being branded. And mm-hmm. you've got to figure out what those issues are and figure out how to get those addressed. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of hard work. It's a very lengthy process to change human behavior and to change the way employees think about their company, change about how they think about customer service, or more specifically, what their role is in delivering that customer service on a daily basis.
Here's an interesting tweet. Nolan asks, how can you put open-minded, polite, hardworking, humorous, and curious all in one phrase? Now, Nolan, I think you're talking about Iowans, or that would be something that we would reach out and we might get those words for Iowans to describe Iowa and the people who live here, right?
And those are great emotional kinds of words. There's a lot of truth behind that, and that's part of the challenge. The bigger challenge, however, is that as we build a brand perhaps for the state of Iowa, you need to find a brand that's going to resonate with not only residents who understand that this is a friendly, wonderful, clean, educational-focused kind of place to live, but it's also got to resonate with the people who are making decisions about moving businesses here and people who might be considering Iowa as a tourism destination. Mm. So you need a big-picture brand and then more specific messages that target those more relevant audiences, those subsections of it.
Okay, so you have this recipe of seven or eight things that you want to include in your brand, and maybe there's some of Nolan's ideas about Iowa: open-minded, polite, hardworking, humorous, curious. These are you're going to have people talking about that. People, they're competing ideas, and some mm-hmm. people will think no, hardworking is really the thing that we want. Open-minded is really got to be the top of the heap. So how do you you take those competing ideas and bring them into a brand? What process do you go through there?
It's very challenging because it's very hard to be all things to all people. And that's part of the bigger challenge about place branding, because in some ways you have to figure out how to balance all of those things. The specific aspects of those attributes may be more relevant for messaging to visitors, and other aspects of those kinds of concepts may be more relevant to the business community, the hardworking aspect and the well-educated aspect of the brand. And so you may need to be looking at what are the key messages that we emphasize with specific audiences. But the bigger picture is you've got to find a way, an umbrella that all of these pieces fit under. So you need a big picture brand that these sub-brands can fit the messaging for those specific subgroups can work with.
Okay. Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100, the exchange at iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Twitter at IPR Talk. Lynn Monernock is with us, president of Mindfire Communications in Cedar Rapids and Quad Cities. Let's go to Joe in Waterloo. Good afternoon, Joe. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. This is a fascinating show. I'm a psychotherapist, so I'm interested in the psychology of all this. And I just wanted to ask your guest, I was flipping through the radio and I heard Mindfire, and I had to go back to the station because I wanted to know, what is that? What is that company? So if she could just comment on how if you don't mind, how she came to that that name, Mindfire, and related. I mean, I'm not a marketer, but I was listening to someone speak, and I forget who it was, but it was Bottom Line Zen, and that's the name of a company. I'm thinking, how do the people come up with these names? So Mindfire, I wanted to find out more about it. Bottom Line Zen, that kind of put me on tilt.
Right.
So there's something in the name that just hypnotizing.
Yeah, cool. So let's have her talk about it. Yeah, something edgy. Mindfire, Bottom Line Zen. They have something edgy, something unexpected, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
You don't expect
These are Iowa companies. These two. So they, you know, you don't think of, when you think of Iowa, you don't think of fire and you don't think of Zen, but they're there and it works.
Joe, great observation. Let's get Lynn's take on this.
Thank you for your question, Joe. Naming is one of the things that our company does. And so we knew when we launched this company that we needed a name that made sense. We considered a lot of options, Monarch, Mead, and Smith, representing the three owners of the company. But that just didn't have the right kind of ring to it. Mindfire fits us very well because mind is the research and evidence-based approach that we take to branding. And fire is that spark, that creative difference that gets people to even notice your message so they can get to the part where they absorb the strategy and the logic and the rationale that's behind it. So that's really kind of the story behind our name.
Mm-hmm. Once you get a name like Mindfire or Bottom Line Zen or whatever you have, how do you test it to see whether it does create a fire in your mind? Do you just trot it out for who?
For us, it was a very informal process. We knew that we liked it. We knew that it would differentiate us from our competitors. We knew that it was a name that was very different than any of the others who work in the same space we do in the region that we compete. And that was one of the things that was most important to us, as well as the fact that it fit what we do.
Okay, as we move into our second hour, we've got a few minutes left before we do take a break. We're going to ask our listeners to, now we've got all this coaching on good branding from Lynn here, and we want our listeners to come up with a good slogan for the state, something that would stick, because we have had, let me go through some of these. Iowa's had many slogans. We pointed that out, fields of opportunities, a place to grow, state of minds, tall corn state. But I'm looking to other states, and I just wrote down a few that came to mind for me where the slogans seem to have really stuck. We have the Empire State. We all know that's New York. Illinois, of course, land of Lincoln, the Show Me State to the south of us, land of enchantment. For some reason, that sticks with me. New Mexico, land of 10,000 lakes. Land is in a lot of these. Maybe we need to have Iowa, land of something to be remembered. I'm not sure. Why do all these slogans, Empire State, Garden State for New Jersey, why do they stick? And Iowa's doesn't seem to stick as much, if I can put that out there.
I think the reason that the ones that you mentioned tend to stick is because of that combination of the experience. People go there and they see that that's true. The land of enchantment, the land of 10,000 lakes, the Empire State, those kinds of things. So there's that reality base. But it also evokes imagery that connects emotionally with people. And that combination can be very powerful. But the truth of the matter for all of those slogans is that there's a lot of money behind building that awareness.
You see it everywhere.
Absolutely. And okay. That is not inexpensive.
Okay. Jordan is in Solon. We've got to take a break in just a moment. Jordan, you have a suggestion for Iowa's slogan?
Yes. Crossroads of Working America.
The Crossroads of Working America. Very solid. That would attract business, wouldn't it, Lynn?
It would. And with the intersection of Interstate 80 and I-35 through the middle of the state, that reality works as well.
Okay. Very good. Jordan, how did you come up with that?
Well, it just seemed like you're talking about the intersection of technology and agriculture, and the Iowans are one of the most hard working breed I know out there, so
interesting.
It just seemed to fit. It tells you where and how and what.
I like it, Jordan. Maybe you've got are you working in marketing these days or another profession?
No, but I've only been interested. I don't know if anybody, I haven't had the opportunity.
Okay, very good, Jordan. We'll leave it there. Dial 1-866-780-9100 or the exchange at iowapublicradio.org with your suggestion for our state's slogan. We'll be back in just a moment. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News.
I long to fall just a little bit, to dance out of the lights and stray from the light. But I feel that to fall in love with you.
This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, and today you're listening to an encore edition of the program. And this hour we're talking about perceptions of Iowa, both from within and outside, how best to market and brand our state. Joining us for the entire hour, you heard her in the first half hour, Lynn Modernach. She is president of Mindfire Communications in Cedar Rapids and the Quad Cities, and the company's brand arsonist. And we want to reach out to our listeners. We want to get as many as we can in this last half hour. If you could come up with a slogan for the state of Iowa, what would it be? 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org. Also on Twitter at IPR Talk. Well, in addition to Lynn, we've invited a couple of other people we thought would be good at lending a hand at as we contemplate how to brand our state. First one is Mary Swander, Iowa's Poet Laureate, is in our studio today, distinguished professor of liberal arts and sciences at Iowa State University as well. Mary Swander, welcome to our program.
Oh, thank you, Ben. Great to be here.
You've been listening to the first part of our program. So tell us, if we're going to start, as Lynn said, with research and finding out what's out there as far as what people think of Iowa, tell us, what do you think how do people perceive Iowa inside the state and outside the state? Is there a difference?
Inside, I think we think of ourselves as a state of great creativity. This is a state of literature and agriculture. And so we're, you know, making books and crops. And it's also a place to raise a family. Everybody talks about that. We have the City of Literature in Iowa City. I just had an email this morning from some writers in Dublin, Dublin's also been named a City of Literature. Edinburgh and Melbourne are the only other cities.
Only four in the world.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And so that's the way I would market ourselves. We're a great state of innovation, from farmers inventing new techniques to writers creating books.
Mm-hmm. Now, you do a lot of traveling outside the state. What do you hear about Iowa? With the blemishes too about Iowa that reflect on our state positively or negatively.
Outside, especially on both coasts, as people know, we're the flyover state, and people don't even know where we are.
Right.
And
but that would include a lot of Midwestern states, wouldn't it?
Right.
Kansas.
Oh yeah, yeah, the
Missouri.
Whole gamut. But Iowa is the only state that everybody can agree is in the Midwest.
and no matter which poll you take,
that's right.
Iowa is
even
in the
Midwesterners
Midwest.
Cannot agree which states are in the Midwest, except for Iowa. And so the perception's quite different outside of Iowa. I had some friends visit from Trinidad this summer, and they came and they said, "Ah, it's so hot here," and I thought, well, if they think it's hot, then it's hot. But
we'll have to agree. Okay, we want to continue, Mary, tapping your thoughts about this, but I want to also introduce Mike Draper is with us, the owner of Ray Gun Clothing in Des Moines, another person we thought could lend us a hand in contemplating how we brand our state. If you don't know Ray Gun Clothing in Des Moines, it's a store in Des Moines known for having shirts with clever sayings. Mike Draper joining us from the studio of Iowa Public Radio in Des Moines. Mike, good afternoon to you.
Hey, hi.
It's great to have you. Do you want to share with us some of the most – I've been looking at your website. People have been looking into my cubicle wondering, what is Ben having the good time about this morning? I'm laughing. Do you want to share some of those? That some of your favorite on the T-shirts? Do you have them in mind?
Getting to Mary's, we have a map of the United States with Iowa highlighted, and it says, "We are here," and then it says, "Iowa, wave the next time you fly over."
exactly.
Most of the time. I went to school in Philadelphia, and so that was my first exposure to people's thoughts about Iowa. And so a lot of people wanted to know how far I was away from Cleveland and how far away I was from Las Vegas, bizarrely. So I kind of found that the state floats in this amorphous geographic area in most people's minds, somewhere between Pittsburgh and Eastern California.
Uh-huh.
And we kind of and so most of the shirts we do try to play off of people's perceptions of the state, but also in a humorous way. So
for the marketing
side, you pretty much need for a T-shirt, you need a short slogan that people understand immediately, and then we'll give you $20 to purchase.
Mm. I love you have slogans for individual cities in Iowa as well. Ankeny, don't act like you're not impressed on a T-shirt.
Yeah, and the Ankeny Chamber of Commerce actually came down and bought shirts for the Chamber of Commerce, and then they bought several to give away to people who sign up for their Twitter account. So.
And this on one of your T-shirts, Burlington, Iowa, more than great coats.
Yeah, and Burlington was less than thrilled about that. They told us
they didn't
even have a Burlington coat factory there, which we did know before we made the shirt. But,
right.
So some cities take it better than others, but usually we'll get recommendations from those cities. So
it's always tricky
to know what's going to be good. Somebody from Fairfield wrote in, and this is one of the funniest things I think we've ever gotten, but it said Fairfield, 25 square miles surrounded by reality.
That's a good one.
But you don't really know how people out in Fairfield may take it, but it kind of does. You know, they voted for Ron Paul, so something's up.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's get some listeners' reactions in here. We're looking for slogans for the state of Iowa. What would you do for Iowa? You have a lot of humorous ones. Mike, do you have anything to chip in that would actually be of use?
Well, I mean, we've been pushing for years for Des Moines' slogan to become one of our most popular shirt. Just says Des Moines, hell yes. And we always want the city to take that one because I think it does encapsulate. It shows that there's a humorous side to the city, which I think is important. You know, fields of opportunity doesn't really mean anything. There's a lot of states with fields, but
right. What is your read? I listed the four slogans that Iowa seems to have had. Maybe there have been more. Why don't they stick like perhaps other states?
I mean, I think when you look at the other states, you know, the Land of Lincoln, Empire State, 10,000 Lakes, Garden State, those are all actual geographic places. And so it's easy to name things after them. You know, you have the Garden State, and so there's a film, Garden State, 10,000 Lakes, Land of Lincoln. Whereas Fields of Opportunity, it's not really, you know, it's kind of like I said, it could be Kansas, could be Nebraska, could be South Dakota. Land of Lincoln, you know, it's hard to have Abraham Lincoln born somewhere else. Empire State Building, 10,000 Lakes, you know, the lakes aren't going anywhere.
Right. So
Garden State is a bit of a stretch, but I guess Toxic Dump was already taken.
Yeah. So, Mike, Mary, and Lynn, we have to find out what sets Iowa apart from other states, not only what makes it desirable, but what sets it apart. Lynn, can you think of any things? Mary, can you think of any things? You said, right?
Yeah.
Literature, it's agriculture.
It's creativity. I say create it here.
Iowa created here.
Yeah, that's my slogan.
I like that one. Nice. Carol in Carol is joining us as well. Carol, do you have a competing slogan for that? Great.
I don't have a competing slogan, but I do have a suggestion. Before we go any further, I think we ought to make a vow that this time, when we pick one, we keep it. We are a very stable and loyal state with stable and loyal people, but we have not been able to hang on to one of the slogans, and there have been a couple pretty good ones, and we seem to drop them because it's not modern or fanciful or or clever. I know Mike, and I think he's very clever and very funny. But we don't have to have a thing. Because all we need to do is focus on our people and the opportunities here.
Okay, so which of the slogans that you've heard, the official Iowa slogans, do you like most, Carol?
Well, I moved here in 1970, so I've been through all of them. I'm one of those graduate students who came and never left. I liked Fields of Opportunity because it was, and it still is, look at all the entrepreneurship we have. And I liked A Place to Grow.
A Place to Grow. Okay. Thank you, Carol, calling
but
from...
We need to...
Don't skip around. We've got to stick with one. We've got to decide and skip, right? Not skip.
We need to be resolved to keep the next one.
Okay, Carol. Lynn, what do you have to say to Carol? That's part of it, isn't it? Putting some money behind it and sticking with something. It takes a while to establish a brand, doesn't it?
Absolutely. A brand is not something you want to change every 4 years when there's a change at the top of the organization. One of the strongest slogans out there in the state of Iowa is, there's a helpful smile in every aisle.
Oh, and we know that's, of course, Hy-Vee.
That's Hy-Vee. They've been doing that for decades, and they have been unwavering in terms of using that, communicating it clearly through their advertising. It's in store. They talk about it in a lot of different ways, and they work very hard to provide an experience that matches that slogan.
A few people chipping in by email with their slogans for Iowa. An email from Tim. He says, Iowa, the good life. There's one. Here's one on the humorous side. Jeff in Ames says, Iowa, not as boring as you imagined. Well, it does tap into a perception out there, doesn't it, that there's nothing going on here, nothing exciting happened, and that's an outside perception. Those of us who live here know there are lots of exciting things going on here in the great state of Iowa. Let's go back to our callers, and let's go to Larry in Alcater. Hi, Larry.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What have you got to chip in? Have you got a slogan or a question?
Well, a couple things. I'm old enough, a lifelong Iowa, Iowan, proud of it, old enough to remember Land Between Two Rivers, mm-hmm. talking about land.
Mm-hmm.
But I see a problem of dealing with some negative perceptions. For example, right now, I talk to somebody and they say, oh, yeah, Iowa, that's where they had a half billion contaminated eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Or Iowa, yeah, that's where you have all those hog factories that you can smell for 10 miles away. Or, oh, Iowa? Yeah, I went through there once on I-80, and it sure was boring. And that, being an Iowan, it hurts me when I hear those perceptions, and I look for ways to combat that. Any suggestions?
Lynn would be the one we're going to turn to for changing. Talked a little bit early in the hour about finding out what's there as far as the perceptions of your product, in mm-hmm. this case a place, Iowa. What do we do with the egg perception that we have across the country, or the vast hog lots perceived across the country?
If Iowa can find a way to develop a strong brand that taps into the most positive aspects of what it's like to live in Iowa and do business in Iowa and stay focused on that message, that will become more top of mind for people, more so than the bad egg controversy, which will go away eventually,
right.
And some of the other negative connotations. If there's not a strong message or a strong image out there, these kinds of things are more likely to come to the surface because there's not a more positive message that comes to mind first.
So you're really pushing those negative perceptions aside, not trying to address the negative perceptions directly, but pushing them aside with something bigger and more positive.
Yes.
Okay, Mary Swander, you wanted to join in on that.
Well, I think we also have to address the bad egg problem and clean those things up. I mean, we've got some issues here that we need to really address. And so if we just cover them up with the marketing, that gets us nowhere mm-hmm. in people's perceptions.
Mike,
I very much agree, Mary. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Larry calling from Alcater. Mike in Des Moines of Raygun. Do you have any ideas about how to get rid of negative perceptions? A lot of your humor on your T-shirts plays off of the negative perceptions.
Yeah, one of ours that comes to mind for that is Des Moines, let us exceed your already low expectations. Because we had so many people who came into the store to say, yeah, I was in Des Moines from Chicago for the weekend, and, you know, I actually had fun. And you're like, wow, this oddly backhanded compliment. But I think if you want, I mean, it's a slow process, but you really just have to get out there and kind of do something about it. And so I decided to move back from Philadelphia and open up the store, and it's grown a lot over the years, and it's mostly 20-something creative types who work there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just having that, you know, automatically shows people, like any marketing, you know, Hy-Vee's had theirs for decades. It's a really slow process. You just have to kind of stay on message. And so the more people that come to visit Des Moines, they'll visit the store, visit other stores in the East Village, and kind of take away their own perception mm-hmm. of the state.
Mike Draper, owner of Raygun Clothing in Des Moines. And Mike, you mentioned that it was created by 20-somethings. Now, let's talk a little bit about age when we talk about a slogan or branding. How do we deal with differences in age? Older people might not like a different slogan than younger people. Lynn, how do we deal with a vastly different demographic? We want to appeal to everybody.
And that's the challenge for branding something as large as the state of Iowa, because there are a lot of things to consider as you determine how we succinctly put that into a few words that people can remember. There's a lot to sum up here. You know, we're talking about education and creativity and agriculture, and there's so much more. That it's a very diversified economy with biotechnology and manufacturing and insurance and financial services. So there are a lot of stakeholders out there. There are a lot of people that we need to try to communicate with. That makes branding something as big as a state especially challenging.
Mm-hmm. Mary, maybe we could get some ideas by talking about a little bit about your writing. How do your experiences as an Iowan influence your writing?
Oh, well, I'm mostly a writer of place, and so it's informed me in all sorts of ways, from the culture of the place to the folklore of the place to I've written a lot about gardening, agriculture, growing things. And so it's really interesting. As a young writer, as most young writers do, I just wanted to leave. And then I, rediscovered my inner Iowan or something like that. And it made my work blossom. You know, we have a lot to offer anybody in the creative arts here.
Let's go to Ann in Cedar Rapids. Good afternoon, Ann. Welcome to the Exchange.
Yes, I was saying that to your that I was in Paris a couple years ago, and I was talking to actual Parisians that lived there, and they knew where Iowa was. And I'd say, oh, I'm from the Cedar Rapids area. Oh, yes, that's the eastern part of the state.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they'd get so excited. Oh, I heard it's beautiful there. And then they say, where do you live exactly? I said, well, I live on a farm. Oh, my God, that's so wonderful. Tell me about it. I don't know. Maybe they just get excited about everything, but and I'm standing in the
Parisians or French people aren't generally known for that, but okay.
I found them so friendly. And so I'm standing in the middle of Paris, and these people are saying to me, oh, please tell me where we can go see. What can we see when we go there? I think I'm standing in Paris. You're asking me to, where can I go in Iowa? And I was totally at a, I was shocked they knew exactly where we were. So, hey, market the world because they know we're out there.
You know,
people in Paris knew more about us than people in New York City.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Now I know, Mike, great experience, Anne. Thank you from Cedar Rapids.
Bye.
Now, I know, Mike, you have a T-shirt that plays off of perceptions of Iowa. We're often confused with other states that start with we're confused with
that have vowels in
that
them.
Have vowels in them. Yes,
we do. Ohio, Idaho. Yeah, it's, yeah. I mean, we've gotten some serious mileage out of that joke. But one is greetings from Ohio, the great potato state, with the outline of Iowa. And it's always funny whenever you have people from out of town who will go to that shirt and go, wait, what does this one mean? And it's like, well, because Idaho is the potato state. Isn't that where we are? No, not currently. Just check your boarding pass.
There was an old T-shirt that said University of Iowa, Idaho City, Ohio.
And I found when I was at Penn, I got invited to like a Jewish sorority formal. And so it was the five of these girls and then four guys, and they were all from the New York area. And somebody said, well, Mike, where are you from? And then this was like the highlight of my date's evening for her to go, guess what? Mike is from Iowa. And everyone stops and goes, oh, my God, that is amazing. You know, tell us about it. What was your childhood like? And so
really?
There's this bizarre fascination because it's like telling somebody you're from Warsaw. You know, they've heard of it, but they're not 100% sure what goes on there. And I don't know, if you look at literature, whether it's, you know, or TV, whether you have, you know, Don Draper on Mad Men is a successful guy, but he's from this farm somewhere in the Midwest, or, you know, Jay Gatsby is this mysterious guy from somewhere in the Midwest. There's this odd, you know, mystical element about how we kind of, you know, like Field of Dreams, wander out of the cornfield and then do amazing things other places. So we kind of try to play on that, too, of there's this kind of emptiness in how people, you know, there's definitely stereotypes about the states, but they're not so cemented that you can't kind of play with it a little bit.
One of your T-shirts has a quote from the future commander, James T. Kirk. He says, I'm from Iowa. I only work in outer space.
Yeah, again, you've got – it's all these – it's bizarre. In you know, in literature, TV, or movies, people of Iowa are in much more powerful positions than they maybe are in real life. But
let's go to Kevin in St. Charles. Is this St. Charles, Minnesota?
St. Charles, Iowa.
St. Charles, Iowa. Very good, sir. What have you got for – you got a slogan for us?
I got a cute little slogan. Iowa, farmers dig it.
Iowa, farmers dig it. I like that, Kevin. We'll put that under consideration. Thank you, Kevin, calling from St. Charles. Let's go to Mary Kay in Des Moines. Hi, Mary Kay.
Hi. I have a comment about the demographic that the slogan should aim towards, given the diversity of ages of people that we're trying to attract.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of surprised that nobody brought up Richard Florida's book, The Rise of the Creative Class, because it seems to me, I believe this is still true, that large businesses in Iowa and in Des Moines have a hard time attracting high-quality employees. And, you know, they have to compete with cities like Minneapolis and Chicago and Madison that, you know, you could argue maybe offer a higher quality of life for younger people who are looking for a lot of entertainment and, you know, natural resources and things. And what Richard Florida says is that businesses, instead of deciding where to locate based primarily or solely
on, you know, economic incentives that the local municipality can offer, are finding that if they go to cities where people, young people who, you know, may not fit in to a traditional lifestyle.
We get your point, Mary. Our hour's coming to an end. Good. That's a great point to leave our show with. Mary Kay in Des Moines, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Positive image opportunities for young people in Iowa. We've enjoyed this hour very much. A few emails we want to get in before we go. Iowa, Fields of Dreams, suggests Justin from North Liberty. Greg in Iowa City, Sowing the Past, Harvesting the Future, Iowa. Also from Slayton in Mount Vernon, Iowa, Living the Dream. Thank you very much for all of the input we've had from our listeners this hour. Also want to thank Lynn Modernock, Mike Draper, and Mary Swander. It's been a joy having you with us as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you.
The Exchange is produced by Alex Hoyer and Catherine Perkins. Production assistance today from Christina Sarnelli. Technical support from Dennis Reese. Also help from Phil Moss in Cedar Falls, John Pemble in Des Moines. The executive producer of Iowa Public Radio's talk shows is Jeff Schmidt. The Exchange is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us. Winter, spring, summer.